Good morning. Time change. Those of us gathered here must have done it all right. I have to tell you a story. An air traffic controller was sitting there directing airplanes across the United States, and a voice comes over the radio, says, Denver Center, we'd like a time check. The controller says, airline calling. Who's calling, please? And there's this pause. And the pilot says, well, what does it matter? We just want to know what time it is. And the air traffic controller says, well, it depends. He says, if you're United Airlines, it's 22:04. If you're Frontier Airlines, it's 4 minutes after 2 in the afternoon. And if you're Bud's crop dusting service, it's Tuesday. Just to be aware, we all have different time zones and agendas and what have you. We welcome everyone. We welcome you online. Some that have been online for some time are present here. So, gosh, it's wonderful to see different faces and different things going on this morning. But we come together. We celebrate this fourth Sunday. Which one are we on? Fourth. And so ignore that error in the bulletin that says third Sunday of Lent. We do gather. Do we have announcements of things that we need to cover as we are gathered and preparing for the morning? I don't see Debbie Gunther here to remind us of our mission opportunities. Be aware of those. And the Women of Faith, you see the list of things that you can help them with. Please be generous and be helpful. Michael Sumrall, Stephanie Iverson has a little bit of a note.
Just to remind everybody about the VBS gift registry, that the information's on the back of the bulletin. So still looking for a lot of items for Vacation Bible School for this year. So,
thank you. Yes, you do a great job with VBS every year, and we're here to support you as best we can. You can go right to that. If that link, and it might take a lot of hunting and pecking if you're like me with multiple errors, if you would like, email the church. We'll just forward you that email, and you can click on it and be sent right to that page and help Stephanie and the youth. Other announcements for the good of the order? Just please, Risa Johnson.
Oh, hi. I just would love to thank everyone who has been continuously sending me cards. It's been great. It's kept me in touch to some degree, and also my announcement or my emails from the church. So thank everyone.
Well, glad to have you back. We know that for some reason we're on aging. I don't know what's going on there, but the years seem to go on and we get a little older, and thank goodness for good doctors. Amen. Other announcements for the good of the order. Just to give a heads up, Rich Schneer reminded me, he says, what are the Holy Week plans here? And we will be gathering on Friday. We will do a tenebrae. It's a service of song and scripture and light. A somber service, a deeply spiritual, or intending to be a deeply spiritual and moving service. And that will be at 7 o'clock on Friday of Holy Week. So we will do Palm Sunday as usual, tenebrae on Friday, and then Easter morning. Easter morning's coming. Everybody ready? We think we are. Journey in the midst. All right. Any other announcements? If not, stand up, wave hello to everyone around you, and let's turn to our call to worship as we let Debbie Burns lead us.
Well, as we finish our greetings, if you would return to your place and remain standing for the call to worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, will you join me in gathering to worship the Almighty as our Lenten journey continues? We join in the journey to Easter, gathering our voices in praise of the Lord Almighty. Lord God, you blessed us with wonderful days. We gather to give you thanks. All this go longer, and the warmth you send is thawing the ground and our hearts. May the warmth of the sun and new growth remind us of the warmth of the sun and the new life he brings. We give thanks, O Lord, for all that we receive from you each day. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Our first scripture is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, and it can be found in the Pew Bible on page 134 in the Old Testament. From Mount Hor, they set out by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord. If you could stand, we're going to move into our first hymn, Seek Ye First. It's in the hymnal on page 405, or you're welcome to use the screen. Seated.
By way of prayers, we gather. You see some of the prayers on the back of the bulletin. We continue to lift those who are healing, those who are convalescing, and those of us who are just aging. Doesn't that seem like a worthy prayer? Do you get up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, it's morning," or do you get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord"? Maybe a little of both. Amen. Are there updates to any of the prayers on the back of the page, or do we have other prayers we want to lift? Michael, Ruby's got her hand up in the back, ready for us right off.
Okay, for those of you that don't know, Pat French, who was a big contributor not only of CROP, but also of AICS when it first began, has passed away. Her service will be Saturday. If you'd like to know and if you'd like to go and you know her, get with me and I will give you the information. I also want to ask for prayers for my next door neighbor who lost her husband last week. And as having a little bit of a rough time with losing him. Thank you.
Ruby, two questions. Your neighbor, her first name?
Chris.
Okay, for Chris, who lost her husband. And who was the gal that you said that passed?
Pat French.
Pat French? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please, come up here.
I would ask for prayers for my colleague, Laura Lee Evans. Her 32-year-old son was killed in an automobile motorcycle wreck on Wednesday, and she's really having a difficult time.
Laura Lee?
Laura Lee.
Okay. Prayers for Laura Lee and the loss of her son. I would ask prayers for young people and cars in general. I think that remembering myself at that age, the consequences of automobiles and travel and driving are not always obvious. And it can be painful. It can be a painful learning experience. So lots of prayers there. I would also ask prayers as it's a little early to be thinking about the election, but the media is already beginning. And we're going to be barraged by it. This may be our temptation, but it's going to be more than 40 days worth. So lots of prayers that we might continue to be centered on the Lord and offer calm and offer peace to those we greet and meet, whether they are in agreement with us or opposing, and that we might find ways to be Christians called and Christians sent. Other concerns before us. By way of birthdays, now I understand that Stephanie's going to have to check. Hadley's having a birthday today. She's 13. Is that where she and Bo are, partying it up? Okay. Mike and Courtney Mitchell having an anniversary, 17 years. Hadley, by the way, is 13, a teenager. And I have down here that Rowan has a birthday on Tuesday. Is that true? You want to tell us how old? Nope. Okay. Can I remain anonymous? Young enough to be a celebration and old enough to know better, as they say. Congratulations, Rowan. Others, other birthdays, anniversaries, special events? I don't see any others at this point in time. If you think of them, oh, all right. Larry and Sandy both. Larry Contour.
We're celebrating Ruella's birthday today.
Did I not get it on there again? Ruella, I am so sorry. Ruella's birthday is there, and this is a big one. This is a milestone, isn't that right?
Yep.
80. Happy birthday. All right, Ruella, I owe you. I'm in your debt for mistaking the. Sandy Tenney.
Oh.
Oh, well, you can't make it again then, because Larry already got it. All right. Others, any others we don't want to miss, but, you know, celebrations are all around us, and we just need to make sure that we focus on them and share them and share Christ in our midst. Amen. Turn with me, if you will. Let's turn to our unison prayer and read responsively. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The Lord is good with steadfast love that endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We who have been redeemed from trouble and gathered in from all the lands. Some were sick of body and mind from sinful ways. Then we, who were in trouble, cried to the Lord and were saved from our distress. Let us be thankful for the Lord's steadfast love. Give thanks for the Lord's wonderful works to humankind. I invite you to a moment of silence in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, we pause to acknowledge your awesome creation. You have brought order out of chaos. And as we look around in the world, perhaps we think that there is chaos returning, but know that there is order in this world of yours, and that you are ever there, ever present, ever with us. We pause in prayer and reflect on this morning upon the prayers that we've had over our lifetime, prayers from when we were young, innocent prayers, wishful prayers, prayers from our middle of our lives as we reflected upon our journey and upon the busyness of our journeys and the struggles for sleep and for energy and for sustenance of finances and spirit. And prayers as we turn to the autumns of our lives, and prayers acknowledging the journey, reflecting back upon our successes, and all too often carrying our failures. And prayers of thanks that we are chosen by you and saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. As we come and gather, Lord, there are myriad prayers around the world of different kinds, different natural disasters, disasters of our own making, tragedies. There are hardships and there are struggles, and there is joy. And there is life, and there is light. Lord God, we see the beginning of things growing in the spring, small green things beginning to emerge from the soil, hinting at the coming of the glory among us. Thank you, Lord, for a season of pausing, of sleep, of rest, and now the beginning of a season of growth and life. Thank you for the growth that you give us in our lives, the seasons of our families, the joys and sometimes the pains, and the family that we have in you through Christ. We gather, Lord, this morning, as we look around at our brothers and sisters here and acknowledge those of us joining us through the internet. We pause also and acknowledge all of those that have joined together around the world. People in places far distant from us that we may never meet, but who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, hear us as we gather with all of your children in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Celebrations and celebrations. Barbara's going to lift an offertory, and as we acknowledge your giving and the giving that continues to reach out around the world through your missional giving and through this church, which we sustain. Barbara.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And today's scripture is the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and it's page 88 in your New Testament in the Bible, Pew Bible. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all those who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of the Lord. And if you can remain standing, we're going to do our rendition of Power in the Blood from the VBS video. I would invite those who are young at heart or young in age to come forward, or anybody else who wants to come.
I think I'm going to tell Bo and Hadley they can't have birthdays. Did you see me having to run the camera for him? I depend on that young man too much. That's a good thing. How many of you have seen the movie Jaws? A very young Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw. Remember all of them? What a wild and woolly bunch. And that shark. Ooh. I tell you, I don't spend a lot of time in the ocean here in Colorado. But after seeing Jaws, I'm even a little more hesitant to get in the water. Funny thing, though, occasionally we hear of shark attacks. We hear of someone injured in a shark attack. What is really startling for me is that after a shark attack, they'll often interview the person. Usually they are survivors, but they'll interview the person, and the person will say, I don't blame the sharks. And I think to myself, well, I do. If shark bit me, I would sure blame it. But they're making an interesting point, and that is that sharks are just being sharks. They are what they are. And they're a part of an ecosystem. And Lion King, you know, the circle of life. And so sharks may not be evil. I always look at them, and if you had a shark picture, I would think scary thoughts. But sharks are not evil, necessarily. Now, I have an interesting thought for you. You remember the story of Jonah? God went to Jonah and said, I want you to go to Nineveh. So Jonah got on a boat and started heading the other way. God swept him, well, the sailors threw him overboard in a huge storm because he admitted he was the problem for the storm. And he swallowed by a big fish. There's no whale in the Jonah story. I hate to break it to you. But the Hebrew word is dagga. I looked it up. I had him pronounce it for me, so I don't know Hebrew, but it says dagga. Say it with me. Dagga. Doggone shark. Well, no, we won't go down the road. Dagga. And I'm wondering, this is the word they use, is it's a fish. This is from the book of Numbers. Listen, if you will, as this. We're recounting some of the Hebrews' journey in the wilderness. You recall Moses went and he went into Egypt and he brought the people out. And they're in the wilderness and there's no food or water, 40 years. But God fed them with manna. Now the manna was like a coriander seed and its color was the color of gum resin. The people went around and gathered it, ground it in mills or beat it in their mortars, then boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked in with oil. When the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna would fall with it. But the rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. Emotional emphasis mine. So here they were, and I bring this up because the fish is dagga. That same fish word, dagga. So we remember the dagga we used to eat, the fish we used to eat. So it's a big fish that swallows Jonah. Just for fun, what if we considered it to be a very big shark that swallowed Jonah? So the shark swallows Jonah, you recall, the big fish swallows Jonah, travels to Nineveh and spews him out onto the shore, making him go where God said he would go. What if it was a giant shark that had done that? This would be a divine dagga. Think about that a moment. Here is, because again, sharks are not evil. Sharks are just sharks. So I'm pushing us a little bit to talk about this term evil? How many have ever petted a snake? Not a lot of hands went up there. I can't remember where I was. Some of them, Natural History Museum, where did you guys? I'm looking at Rowan and Joey here. Reptile gardens, okay, place I would never go. All right. At any rate, if you have never petted a snake, they're smooth. They're very, very smooth. It's an odd sort of thing to touch this snake. And you know, I've been around, and they say, oh, no, this one's not venomous. This one's tame. And, oh, they're wonderful pets, and I'm not convinced. But serpents and snakes have a history with the Israelites. It goes back, way back to this couple that we know, named Adam and Eve in the garden. And a serpent comes. It's a snake. And it comes and tempts them. The Israelites have this history, and serpents have always been the nasty force that's out there. Now, snakes are not bad. Snakes are not evil. I had a boss who had a terrarium with poisonous snakes in it, which is very illegal, and which scared the dickens out of me. So whenever I got called into the boss's office, it was not a good time. But snakes are not evil, because evil has to do with intent. Evil is that intentional protesting against God, that intentional doing what is wrong, that turning from following God to opposing God. The serpent might be classified as evil. The serpent knew the laws that God had given to Adam and Eve, pretty much only one. Don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the garden of good and evil. Don't eat that fruit. And the serpent does what is opposite to what God directs. So that defines evil, doesn't it? I assume all of you got bulletins. Did you look at the front of the bulletin? Did you see that cover? Giovanni Fantoni. Now, Mount Nebo, Jordan. Anybody been to Mount Nebo, Jordan? Richard, you haven't made that one? Put it on your list. Okay. So there is the staff, you see. We're listening to this story that we heard this morning in the Old Testament. They're in the journey in the desert, and the serpents are biting the people. And so Moses has a staff with a bronze serpent on it. It doesn't specify that it's bronze, but it would have had to be if we sculpted that or formed that. Could have been wood. We don't know. But here is a pole with the serpent on it, and that's what struck me about this image I found on the internet from this artist, Giovanni Fantoni, the brazen serpent. Isn't that an amazing thing? And the snake wrapped around the staff, and he added, you know, some other features there. And this staff that is God empowered, the people look upon the staff and they are healed. They are healed when they look upon the staff. It doesn't mean that they don't get bitten. Did you notice that God doesn't get rid of the serpents? They're still there, and people might get bitten and they might get sick. And the scar, the bite marks might scar and leave long-lasting injury there. And people might struggle and even hurt, but after they look upon the bronze staff, they will not die. Poor Hebrews in the wilderness, what a struggle that must have been. 40 years out there, and I got to admit, eating manna 40 years and straight. I don't know that I could go 40 days without a little bit of struggling. But nonetheless, they speak out against God, and we need to remember that sometimes we complain to God too. And maybe we shouldn't. And we become impatient with the way things are. Even though we are fed, we become impatient because it may not be what we prefer or how we prefer it or when we prefer it. And we can become angry at God. Over the course of my ministry, I've had various people that say, "Pastor, I'd like to come in and talk to you." And they don't, you don't have to tell me why, but we sit down and the pastor's office is a sacred spot where what is shared is not shared elsewhere. It is like the confessional in the Catholic Church. What is shared there stays there. But I've had a lot of people who come and say, "I got angry with God and I don't know what to do." And I have to smile a little bit and say, you know, God has broad shoulders. God is not going to turn away from you because you got angry with God. The fact that you're here trying to repent of that and saying what you did was a bad thing and you shouldn't be doing that and that you need to get back in right relationship with God is all God calls you for. But sometimes we do need to get angry. We need to get angry in the world around us, and often we turn to God instead. But God forgives when we return. In Christ, we are forgiven. Think about that a minute. That's what the New Testament passage. God did not send Christ into the world to condemn it. Christ came to save us. To save us, to redeem us, to return us to right relationship, to grow us back into sacred family. Now, Jesus made his journey through life without sinning. I'm not sure if it's possible for humans to do that. Certainly, I have not managed that. Doubtful many do. But when we have transgressed, we can come to the cross and gaze upon the cross and turn to Christ and be redeemed. Think about that a minute. That picture on the cover of the brazen serpent, Giovanni is adding those cross pieces probably to help us remember the cross of Christ. Perhaps it's a reflection too on the other symbol that we know, the caduceus, the medical symbol of healing. Medicine has a symbol of a staff with stakes on it. Is it the same serpents of the wilderness? I don't know the history of the caduceus. I know that healing people who have been injured, God has always been doing that, and God will continue to do that. It doesn't mean we won't be tempted. It doesn't mean we won't be bitten. Boy, sometimes I have been really bitten, have you? Sometimes we're wounded. And sometimes those wounds leave scars. They're not going to go away. They're part of our being and who we are and part of the journey that we've been a part of. And sometimes we have regrets. And oftentimes, to our detriment, we carry those regrets and keep apologizing for them over and over and over again when God has already forgiven them. Be aware of that. But just like the serpents, we will not die from those. Because Christ came to save the world and to save us and to bring us everlasting life. This is our journey in Lent. We're not to Easter yet. We are not there. We want to rush ahead. It's pretty exciting. Things coming. We're making plans. And oh, what a glorious morning. But you can't get to Easter without traveling through Lent and through the cross. May your journey include your ability to return to the cross and returning to the healing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing something to close out the morning. What wondrous love is this? a good question to ask about God's love for us, amazing love for us. Amen? 292, if you're comfortable standing, please do.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful
about you, but I'm ready to do that two or three more times, but maybe not this morning. What wondrous love. What wondrous love is this? How could God love us? But that love is real and we are grateful. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, accept the love of God, the forgiveness of Christ when we turn with our whole hearts, and our ability to share with the world Christ's love. Amen. Amen. Join hands if you will. Let's sing our closing.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may.
And God's people said, amen. Amen.